Bible this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I'm reading the passage this morning not just because that I want to talk to you about the rapture, but I'm reading the passage because I want to talk to you about Michael, the archangel. In verse 16, notice that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Now, the only angel in the Bible that is called an archangel is Michael. And I want us to discuss some things about this angel, Michael. Now, to start with, the reason I'm reading the passage here is because that there are those today who believe in a split rapture for the church, and they base much of their doctrine on this passage here. For instance, now, notice how this will work. Go back with me, please, to Zechariah, and I look in Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. In Zechariah 9, verse 14, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south, and the Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour, and on the thing goes. Verse 16, the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, and it has to do with the coming of the Lord. It has to do when the Lord will save Israel. I'm interested in the fact because it says, the Lord God shall blow the trumpet. Now turn to Matthew and look in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, verse 15. Matthew 24, 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and the passage is taken to be the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. It is used by people to prove that Matthew chapter 24 is that 70th week, and that this is the middle of the tribulation according to several passages back in the book of Daniel. All right, then come on to verse 29. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, the powers of the earth, heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, the idea is to take all these passages and put them together and say that since the archangel is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, and since there is a trumpet, and I didn't read the passage with you, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Well, the idea then is to take Zechariah chapter 9. The Lord shall be seen over them, shall blow the trumpet. Obviously, in the passage, has something to do with the second coming of Christ. Take Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. So they say then this is going to happen in the last part of the tribulation. and they try to prove that 1 Thessalonians 4 has to be the end of the tribulation, or at least after the middle of it, because of Michael the archangel, or rather the archangel being there, in that. Matthew 24, he shall send forth his angels. And then in Corinthians chapter 15, along with Zechariah 9, Zechariah 9, Lord God shall blow the trumpet. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Therefore, put it all together, and they say, well, then it's got to be that the rapture of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 has to come after the middle of the tribulation and in the end of the week. Well, all that does not prove that that is so where I'm concerned. And somebody might say, well, you're just stupid and hard-headed, and that may be so. I don't know. I don't know everything. In fact, like I said to the class the other night, there's a whole lot more that I don't know than that which that I do know. But then on the other hand, I have no reason to believe that the Apostle Paul, as given by the Lord with the gospel of the circumcision, and it is given through the Apostle Paul to suffer for the church, and on and on, I cannot reconcile in my mind how that this man could have been given the gospel of Christ, the formation of the church, laid the foundation for the church, and at the same time the Spirit of God led him to write unto the church as if they were going to be judged along with Israel in the tribulation. Now that makes no sense to me. So there's some things about this 1 Thessalonians 4 thing that I want us to consider. First, I want you to notice some things about angels. Number one, notice that angels in this Bible are servants, and that their association is with Israel. Fascinating thing. You can find angels mentioned down through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some in the first part of the book of Acts. But when Paul writes, it is so vague he hardly mentions them at all. Now he mentions them, but he does not mention them as in association with the church, which is the body of Christ. The writers of the Old Testament scriptures mention them as giving the law. They mention them as receiving the law. Paul does himself. They mention them as ministering to Israel, as protecting Israel, as fighting for Israel, as judging Israel, and on and on. But when Paul writes, he said, know ye not that you shall judge angels? Not angels judge the church. The church judge angels. So I'm saying to you that comparing Scripture with Scripture from Genesis through Revelation, the majority of the time angels are spoken of in reference to an association with the nation Israel. Now notice that they are servants. Turn back to 1 Chronicles and look in 1 Chronicles chapter 18. In 1 Chronicles, I'm sorry, that'll be 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 18. And in this particular case, Jehoshaphat has been asked to go to war with Ahab. Jehoshaphat is asked for a prophet to prophesy what's going to happen. And finally, Micaiah is called upon. Verse 17, the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me but evil? In other words, Micaiah never says anything good about Ahab. Again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. Now this is Micaiah speaking. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, another spake, saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I'll go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. The Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do so. Now therefore, says Micaiah, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Angels are spirits, and they are servants of the Lord. But notice something else about them as spirits and servants of the Lord. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. Hebrews 1, 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. Now go to verse 13. This will be Hebrews 1:13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now I cannot find where Paul in Romans through Philemon would imply that angels were sent forth unto Gentiles to minister the Gentiles who are going to get saved later on. I find about the convicting the Spirit, I find that the calling of God is there and so forth, but I don't find anything about angels doing it. Angels are spirits. Now notice that Micaiah saw them in heaven, the whole host there, God before them, or them before God, and God called upon them, and one of them answered the Lord, and it says, a spirit. They are spirits, and these spirits minister. They are servants. Go back, please, to Acts, and look in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, notice verse 26. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. Verse 27, he arose, did so. He met the Ethiopian eunuch, verse 28, who was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, I'm saying that the Spirit of verse 29 is the angel of the Lord in verse 26. I have no reason to believe it's otherwise. I'm going to show you that the angel of the Lord there is a representative of God himself. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I'm saying that the angel said, do so. Then come to verse 39, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. I'm saying the Spirit of the Lord of verse 39 is the angel of the Lord of verse 26. He caught away Philip, the eunuch saw him no more. Excuse me. I'm saying that the angel of the Lord just picked Philip up and taken him away from there so that the eunuch couldn't see him again. Angels are servants, and this service in the Bible appears to have to do with Israel. Notice that angels are warriors. Turn, please, to 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter 19. In 2 Kings chapter 19, notice verse 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, and so forth and so on. In other words, Sennacherib tried to take Jerusalem, and the people couldn't fight against him, and so the angel of the Lord fought against him. The angels are warriors. Look in 2 Kings chapter 6. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha has been sent to this city called Dothan. There's a king that has been told that Elisha knows everything that he's doing, so this king sends over and he's gonna kill him. In verse 13 he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, the servant's afraid. He sees all the armies out there, the horses and the chariots and everything out there, and he's afraid. He doesn't know what they're going to do. Verse 16, and he, that is Elisha, answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed, and so forth and so on. These men had the protection of the angels of the Lord there. You'll notice that after Acts chapter 28, Israel is not protected by angels anymore. God Almighty blessed them as long as they were in covenant relationship with Him and serving Him and whatever. But in the Old Testament scriptures, they rejected God the Father. During the ministry of Jesus Christ, they rejected God the Son. And in the period of time covered in the book of Acts, they rejected God the Holy Spirit, and God withdrew the protection from Israel. And since that time, anybody that wanted to could have encompassed their city about. Titus with the Roman army did so in A.D. 68 through 70 some odd there, and any nation that wanted to is beat up on them, and there wasn't anybody could stop them. Finally, the United Nations has helped them and so forth, but down through the years, there has been no implication at all that angels have helped Israel and warred for them and fought for them and whatever, as they did in the Old Testament scriptures. Angels are servants, angels are warriors, and notice that angels appear to be messengers. Turn, please, to Zechariah, and look in Zechariah chapter 1. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 7, Zechariah 1, verse 7, upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sidet, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him there were red horses speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel, well then this man is an angel. The angel that talked with me said unto me, I'll show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. There is every indication that in the spiritual realm that there is a chain of command among the angels. And that these latter angels here that walk to and through the earth report back to another that is in command of them, and he reports to another, and on, and whatever, and they report to the throne of God that which has taken place. Angels are messengers. Notice that angels, being messengers, appear, notice in Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Verse 4, in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz, and so forth and so on. And when Daniel saw this one, which is an angel, he fainted. Verse 10, Behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And this appears to be Gabriel that is talking unto him. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. In other words, he'd been 3 weeks now. Verse 13, But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there, the kings of Persia. In other words, there seems to be that there are angels around the throne and throughout the universe that have a job to do, such as carrying messages and ministering to Israel and whatever, and that there is one over them, and the implication is that that one over them is Gabriel himself. In fact, throughout the book of Daniel, you'll find him talking to Daniel, giving him messages, relating things from the throne unto Daniel. Well, Daniel prayed to God. The prayer went to the throne. God sends the angel of the Lord back with the answer, but he can't get back. He comes into enemy territory in the heavens up there. And he said that the prince of Persia withstood him, which would imply then that in outer space out there somewhere, there are thrones and dominions and principalities and whatever, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 6 and other passages, and that these are enemies of God, and there are angels out there. Satan and his angels are out there. And when this angel came through there with this message for Daniel, they withstood him. And so God sent a warrior, and that warrior's name is Michael, and Michael came and assisted this angel and got him through the enemy territory, and he brought the message unto Daniel. Notice in verse 21, "But I'll show thee that which is noted in the scripture truth, and there's none that holdeth me in these things but Michael, your prince." Well, then Michael is the prince of Israel. He's a warrior for Israel, and so forth. Angels are their spirits. Angels are servants. Angels are warriors. Angels are messengers. And notice that angels represent God among men. And there can be no misunderstanding about this. Turn back with me, please, to Exodus, and look in Exodus chapter 23. Anybody that believes a King James Bible has to know that the angel of the Lord is an angel representing Almighty God. In Exodus chapter 23, notice in verse 20, God says to Moses, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee in the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him." In other words, God represented himself among Israel through an angel. And in this representation, this angel could forgive their transgression. Now, this is, I realize that I'm getting way out into deep water here, and I can just almost hear the buzz saws a whizzing as they get ready to get me on the limb out there and cut the limb off. But the thing is so clear in the scripture. You see, I believe that the angel of the Lord of Revelation, hold on to Exodus there, and turn to Revelation, and look in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1, in Revelation 1, verse 1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." Well, people say that the angel, the Lord, came unto John. Well, it said that he sent and signified it by his angel, and that's sufficient for me to believe that it is the angel of the Lord. Well, people say, okay, the angel is the Lord. I don't believe that. I believe that he's the angel of the Lord. Just like in Acts chapter 12. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is in prison. He's been shut up in jail. They told him that you can't preach out here, and he did it anyway, and they threw him in jail. In the middle of the night, the angel came in and waked him up, and his chains just fell off of him. The angel picked him up from there, stood him on his feet, and started walking. As they got to the first gate, the gate opened, Peter and the angel went through, then it closed, and on until they got outside. They finally went to the home where the people were there praying for him. They're praying for his release out of prison, and when they got there, Peter knocked on the door. And a woman came to the door and saw him, and she ran back and told the people that were praying that it's Peter standing out there at the door. And they said, in effect, it can't be him. He's in jail. It's got to be his angel. Well, there's in Matthew chapter 19, he refers to some little ones, and he said their angels are before the throne, do always appear before the throne. Well, there is an ever implication then that each Israelite had a specific angel, and that angel represented that individual before the throne of God. Jesus Christ was born an Israelite, And Jesus Christ has an angel, and he's called the angel of the Lord. Notice in verse 10, Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and so forth and so on. Well, then, this angel of the Lord said, I'm Alpha and Omega. In other words, God is represented in this angel. This is the one, no doubt, that walked in the garden back there, in the cool of the day, and Adam hid from him, and he said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I'm hid, so forth. And he said, why are you hid? Now you say, well, that can't be so. That was God Almighty, the Creator. Well, Jesus Christ said, no man hath seen God at any time. Now, that's what the Bible said. No man hath seen God at any time. Well, if no man had seen God, the Creator of heaven and earth, at any time, then in that garden back there, Adam was made the first man, and when the Lord appeared there, the Lord appeared in an angelic form. He's the angel of the Lord. He's the one that is in the scripture here. Verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. Verse 14, his head and his hair were white like wool, and on and on. He is an absolute representation of Christ himself. Looks like him, walks like him, talks like him, acts like him, but he's the angel of the Lord. Where's Jesus? Well, he sat at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ was born, he lived, and he died on Calvary. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. And Jesus Christ, after 40 days, ascended up and sat down at the right hand of the Father, far above all heavens, above all principality and power and might and dominion, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 2. Well, if Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, and if Jesus Christ was given the revelation, and he was, and he sent that revelation and signified that revelation by his angel, that I don't have any better sense than to believe that when this angel appeared unto John, Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the Father, and his angel represented him before John. That is law. Look at this angel. Turn over to Revelation, and it may take me just a moment to find this passage here. In Revelation 22, verse 6, he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets. He's not saying I'm one of thy brethren the prophets. He said, I am the fellow servant of thy brethren the prophets. Keep the sayings of this book, worship God, and on and on. There is no doubt about it. Angels worship God and do not receive worship. This is the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord represents God before men in the Old Testament scriptures, and will represent God before men before Jesus Christ returns to sit upon the throne and reign for 1,000 years. Now, there is no mistake about that. Angels represent God. Turn back, please, to Exodus. Once again in Exodus, and look in chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. All right, in Exodus 32, notice verse 30. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I'll go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I'll visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. There ain't any doubt about it. That which Moses saw there, that which Moses looked upon and dealt with and whatever, is the angel of the Lord. Now he saw the Lord in the angel and heard the Lord in and through the angel. The angel of the Lord represents God. He's a representative of God. Look in chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And look in verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, that's not the passage that I want. In this particular place, Moses wants to see the glory of the Lord, and when he appears with his back to him. But there are numerous passages there that bear out the fact that the Lord appears in an angel. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now, before we read Exodus 3, turn, please, to Galatians. Galatians. And look in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which is 430 years after, can't disannul. Verse 18, if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. God gave it to Abraham but promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Now watch, and it, the law, received by Moses. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. In other words, Moses went upon that mountain, and there was one that went between God and Moses, or there were several implied in this passage, and those are angels. Look in Hebrews again, please. In Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest that in time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? So forth. In other words, then, the word spoken by angels, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, is the law. You see, the law was given by God through the angels unto Moses. Moses gave the law to Israel, and when Israel sinned against the law, the angels killed them. Why, you know, there are people that believe that all sorts of things about Jericho, the walls of Jericho will be broken down. There ain't any doubt about my mind how Jericho was destroyed. The angels of God went in there and destroyed the place. Angels. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7. All right. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, Stephen said, You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they've slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. There's no doubt about it. Angels represent God. Angels are servants, angels are spirits, angels are warriors, they're messengers from God. They represent God unto men. In other words, when men saw the angels, they saw God. Now, Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus 3 verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Notice that it is the voice of God that is talking to Moses, but it is the angel of the Lord that makes the appearance. The angel is the angel of the Lord, verse 2, standing in the midst of the burning bush, but it is God's voice that's doing the speaking. Verse 5, and he said, draw not nigh thither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. In other words, Moses believed that that was God. Now, this is first encounter. You say, well, the truth of the matter is, then it was God standing in the midst of that bush. It was God in that. It was the Spirit manifest in flesh. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He maketh his angels spirits. The angel of the Lord is a spirit, but that spirit manifest himself in flesh. The Lord is in there. It's the Lord doing the talking. It's God, the creator of heaven, is doing the talking. But what Moses sees is the angel of the Lord. How do I know that? Because the Bible said that. That's how I know it. In verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame. What is the appearance? It's the angel of the Lord. What is the voice? It's the voice of God. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, and look in verse 30. Acts 7. Well, let's see. Let's go back a little further than that. Verse 29. Then fled Moses at this saying, was a stranger of the land of Midian, where he begat two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and he drew near to behold it. The voice of the Lord came unto him. There is no misunderstanding that if you believe English means what it says. It is the angel of the Lord. It is the voice of the Lord. Verse 32, saying, I am the God of thy fathers. Who is the God of fathers? Thy fathers, the angel? No. The one speaking is the God of thy fathers. You see, once again, you go back to Revelation. In Revelation, he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. On he goes. He's the angel of the Lord. John falls down to worship before him. He said, do it not. I'm thy fellow servant, and the fellow servant of thy brethren the prophets, and whatever, worship God. You see, worshiping of angels is a sin. There's worshiping of angels that is in the church at Colossae. And Paul rebukes them. They're not to worship angels. The angel is the servant. He's not only the servant of God, he's the servant of the individual to whom he is sent. The angel said, I'm thy servant, thy fellow servant. Verse 32, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And on. It is God talking to Moses. The appearance is the angel of the Lord. Angels are spirits. angels are servants, angels are warriors, angels are messengers, and angels represent God unto men. Notice that they're always men. They're always male. They're always masculine. They are never female. Look in Judges, and in Judges chapter 13. In Judges 13, verse 2, there was a certain man of Zorah, the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and on she goes. Now verse 6, Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name, and on. Come down to verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God, which thou didst send, come again unto us. The angel of God is a man of God. They're men. They're servants, warriors. They're spirits manifest in the flesh. And they're male. They're messengers. And they represent God. Now our time is up today, so we're not going to have time to get into the passage today concerning Michael, the angel of the Lord, the archangel. Lord willing, we'll do that in our next Sunday message. We just wanted to clarify the thing about what angels are, what their jobs are, and so forth. And I believe that it'll have some effect upon this thing about Michael. Keep something in mind, that angels represent God. They are, he said, I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets. These angels have to do with Israel. And with a comparison all the way through the Bible, I don't believe that a man could prove by any passage in the Bible that angels are given unto Gentiles to take care of Gentiles, protect Gentiles, or give the law to Gentiles, or give the message of God to Gentiles. God doesn't operate that way anymore. God operates through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in men. And instead of angels, God uses men. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians, and look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians, and may I recommend that you read chapter 3, all the way through chapter 3, and notice the ministry of condemnation versus the ministry of glory, which having to do that ministry given through Paul. And in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, so forth and so on. Now come to verse 7. But we have this treasure, this ministry of carrying the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, and so forth and so on. In other words, God is not using angels today to carry His word. God is using human instrumentality that He may receive the glory. Why? Because of His grace. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, one passage, and we're going to quit. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, God could use angels, but it wouldn't be a manifestation of His grace. God used human instrumentality, failing human beings, so that He would manifest forth His grace, because He's using vessels of clay. We have this ministry in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be.